Michael Smith, it's episode 81 of the Canes Cast, and you know what?
What?
It's about time we had some March Madness.
Welcome to episode 81 of Canes Cast here on Monday, March 18th.
Wow.
I had to check the date.
You are out of sorts already, buddy.
Well, we've reached the point of the season. Well, actually, we've been in the point of the season where it's you don't really know what day it is other than it's either a game day or it's not.
Yep.
It's either a Canes Cast day or it's not.
Yep. January, that's usually when I get in the, I don't know the number, maybe I know the day, that's about it. So.
And we're here and it's a Canes Cast day.
And it's a practice
Monday.
Day too.
And it's a practice day. It was team photo day. Big day here. Big Monday at PNC Arena. Our recorder just dropped.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
Hopefully
noticed
it's still
that.
Recording. Well,
yeah,
we
I don't
noticed
think,
that.
Yeah, you did.
Now
so
we're peeling back
through,
the curtain.
So that's it. And that's what
For
you do.
The folks on the video portion of the podcast saw it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
We're doing a video portion. I wish you would have let me know. Because now we're going to actually get the request. How come we can't see it? You're just opening up all sorts of Pandora's boxes today.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't have the wherewithal in me to put them all back.
Maybe if we get a sponsor. Maybe YouTube can sponsor us.
Ooh, I'd be down with that. We can make that happen. Anything for a shekel or two here. But the best part about right now, Michael Smith, is for the first time in a long time. Now, the Canes have had a couple of runs in March the previous seasons where they make it interesting. You know, they kind of tickle you with the, hey, maybe if everything works out right, this could happen. This is the first time in a long time the Carolina Hurricanes control their fate in the month of March. And the reason why, their resiliency. They have only lost back-to-back games twice since the calendar has flipped that I've checked, or at least in the last 30 days.
And one of those was an overtime loss.
An overtime loss. But I hate trying to debate what NHL 500 is and what's a loss with people, but it's an overtime loss. So they had the loss to Winnipeg and Boston, where you have that all taken care of. And then you have, before that, they lost at Madison Square Garden, and then they lost to Ottawa.
You don't
and
say.
Taking a look, that's in January. I don't know if there were two consecutive losses earlier in January, but
nope.
I don't think there were.
That's it.
And that's it. So since the calendar has flipped to 2019, what the Canes have been able to do is be resilient and not lose more than two games in a row, which is that's what you have to do. And, oh, by the way, they put winning streaks together in that time. You have to win. I think we've said it. You can go back to one of the podcasts in November. You have to win four or five games in a row, and you can't lose four or five games in a row. And that's why the Canes have one of the best records in the NHL since January 1st. It's why this team has found themselves in a playoff position, and it's why they control their own destiny, which is what you want to be this time of year. And March will be mad because one home game out of the way, but now you've got four more against four playoff-hungry teams. The Pittsburgh Penguins are coming up. The Tampa Bay Lightning, everybody's doing that. Oh, well, you know, the Lightning might not have much to play for. They're playing for history, and they're playing against, and this will sound weird, against themselves. We're going to, I'm sure, do a deeper dive into this. Then Minnesota's fighting for a playoff spot out west, and a team that you're fighting directly with for a wild card spot, Montreal, plays on a back-to-back after you play Minnesota. So this is going to be a wild week for Carolina Hurricanes fans, and I can't wait to get to it. It's going to be, as they say, mad in March.
March Madness.
Exactly.
It's
there might be one shining moment at the end of this.
Hmm. It feels, and we've talked about why it feels different this season, what it means for it to feel different this season. And it feels different now because the Hurricanes are actually playing meaningful games. They're not playing these, okay, well, if we get 8 of 10 points on this homestand, we'll be 2 points out of a wild card spot and see what happens. They're in a playoff spot as it stands now. Like you said, they control their own destiny. They are playing meaningful games because they have gotten themselves in a position where they're square in the mix of the playoff conversation in the Eastern Conference. So much so that the mathematical probabilities say that they are going to end the playoff drought and make the playoffs for the first time since the 2008-09 season.
Yeah.
And that's a difference. That's why it feels different, because this team is actually playing truly meaningful games down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, and if we did if they get 8 of the next 10 points, that means that they have a shot at third or even second place in the Metro Division, as opposed to being 3 or 4 points out of a playoff spot just to get within shouting distance. So that's the great thing right now for this club and how resilient they are. And as we are here, and I'm sure that you've noted on Twitter for people who've checked already, Calvin DeHaan on the ice with a full face shield.
Full face shield, Justin Williams style.
So
that's good to see.
I don't know if that is a harbinger. There's my big word for the day.
Ooh, I like that.
Of anything to come, but I'm pretty sure they're going to take this slow with Calvin DeHaan and not rush him back on the ice if they don't have to. But it's good to see him on the practice ice here today. So there is your injury update.
Especially since it appeared he was bleeding from his eyeball just about a week ago.
That's never good.
No.
Again, we're not doctors, and they didn't tell us the exact extent of the injury, but we do know that it wasn't good.
Right.
And we have gone down the road of what should happen. I've talked about it with Shane Willis on the TV side of things. I really think any kind of high stick is a penalty now. I don't care if it's a follow-through. You just have to be in control of it. But that's a good sign, especially because we weren't sure how long Calvin DeHaan was going to be out with this situation. So if he's on the ice skating, that can lead you to sooner rather than later. I'm not going to assume anything, but at least he's out there skating, and then you don't have to worry about, he's got to get his legs back, and he's got to get, as long as he can be out there and participate like this, that's a really good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And you talk about resiliency. That's resiliency for recovering from what initially looked to be a nasty eye injury, and then the report of, he goes to the hospital, but he did make the flight back to the team. So good to see him back on the ice. The Hurricanes basically shutting him down for last week in that recovery process. We'll get word from head coach Rod Brindamore after practice today on just exactly what his status is and when he could potentially return to the lineup. I assume his eye is pretty swollen still and probably pretty black, but we'll get a full update.
It's a black after, guy, yeah.
Yeah, after the after practice
today. All right, so let's get to the important things here. When last we talked to you, the Carolina Hurricanes had just completed a resilient bounce back after losing 8-1 to the Winnipeg Jets. They beat Nashville. They beat Colorado. We talked about that. So we only have two games to talk about here.
Yes.
They go into Columbus and lose 2-0 to the revamped Blue Jackets.
It's yeah,
the best way to explain them because they are a completely different team than the last time we've seen them.
And who I think maybe is starting to figure it out. I mean, you knew it was going to take them a few weeks with all the new faces in that locker room, but it kind of appears like they might have figured things out and are kind of starting to hit their stride. I would be surprised if they fell out of the playoff race, to be honest. I think the teams that are in a playoff spot now are probably going to be the teams that end up making the playoffs. We can get into it later in a different segment, but
yes. I think for the elevated train to go by us, too, to go a little bit deeper in on that one. Well, there it goes.
Choo-choo.
Chicago at PNC Arena.
But I think they're starting to figure it out. And in that game, which actually really wasn't a bad game for the Hurricanes, it was a bad 6 minutes. The first 6 minutes of the game, Columbus was flying. The Hurricanes were sluggish. Columbus scored two goals from basically point shots that found their way through Peter Mrazek through traffic. And then from that point on, the Hurricanes were forced to chase the game, and they chased it pretty well.
Yeah.
They put 46 shots on Sergei Bobrovsky, but he was the difference. And the Hurricanes should know that goaltenders can steal games because Peter Mrazek had been doing that for the Hurricanes for the previous basically 2 weeks. And that was the simple difference in that game is a sluggish first 6 minutes and a strong goaltender in Sergei Bobrovsky at the other end who stopped everything he saw, and the Blue Jackets come away with the shutout win over an otherwise pretty good effort from the Hurricanes.
Well, I can't ignore the 6 minutes, though. You know, that's the whole part of it. But that's the funny thing about hockey, and it's funny, sad, not funny, ha-ha, that you can be the better team in this sport for the majority of the game. It's really hard in other sports to dominate for 45 minutes of a game that's got a clock and you don't win. It's hard to do that. Hockey is the one sport where you can dominate. You can dominate two full periods. You can dominate 2.5 periods, but if you have an off 10 minutes, you can lose the game. Or if you run into what Sergei Bobrovsky was, you're gonna have a hard night. And the Canes had, in that game in Columbus, they didn't have the start that they needed, so they got off to a sluggish start. Columbus took advantage. They ran into a hot goalie, and they had zero puck luck. That explains the Columbus game.
Well, and
again, people get mad at us for doing this, and I'll say it again. Folks, you can't just go to extremes after a win, plan a parade route, and after a loss, say that the team's not going to make the playoffs. There's 11 games left as of right now. There's going to be another loss in there at some point in time. I can promise you that. I wish I was wrong, but there will be another loss somewhere. It's just, how do you bounce back from them? And the Canes bounced back, and people were worried about that Sabres game. I was not, because I know the effort the Canes give every single night. And that effort was going to be good enough to beat a team that isn't giving that effort anymore.
Yeah. I think the tough part about the bad 6 minutes that the Hurricanes had in Columbus is it came at the beginning of the game. So you bury yourself in a quick 2-0 hole, and that's tough to work out of. If it's an off 6 minutes, say, like in the middle of the second period, maybe Columbus gets one, maybe they don't, maybe they just control 6 minutes, that you can easily look past. But the 6 minutes happened to be really tough at the beginning of the game when the Hurricanes took them a bit to find their legs coming off of that 3-day gap in between games. Columbus was ready to go. They took advantage, got two quick ones, and then basically were just able to sit on that lead. Not that they wanted to sit on that lead, but that's just what the Hurricanes game can do, is they can just take over a game, dominate possession, dominate shots. And that's what they did for the rest of the game, and they just couldn't capitalize on any of their shots because Sergei Bobrovsky was the best player on the ice for either team.
Yeah.
And that's the simple fact from that. Now,
and when they did beat them, they hit a post.
Yes. Twice.
Three times in that game.
Oh.
They hit two posts and a crossbar.
Okay. There you go. He has the iron to thank.
He does. The iron unkind to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Unkind.
Thank you, Tim Brando, wherever you are.
Going into the Buffalo game, the only question I had was,
did the equipment get here? Because that was my only question.
Well, you knew a week ago, a week prior, following that lopsided loss to Winnipeg, you knew the team would be able to respond pretty easily because that's not their game.
You did, because to me, I didn't, because you were going into Nashville the next night.
Well, yeah,
that's
but,
why I didn't know about
that. But you
that.
Knew that they were at least going to respond with the effort you wanted to see.
Yes.
Because Friday night against Winnipeg, that was not them. They were going to come out and rectify that. I don't think we had any doubt. I think the tough part coming off of the Columbus game was that you weren't sure emotionally how you respond after a game in which for 50 good minutes, you play a pretty solid game. And maybe it's tough to work up a response to that, you know, after losing 3-0. But, of course, as we saw against Buffalo, it wasn't a problem. Just as it hasn't been a problem for this club all season, responding and being resilient and bouncing back and winning.
Well, that's why I said I wasn't worried about it, because I saw the bounce back against Nashville. And you have the – all right, you get roasted 8-1. It's real easy to sit there and go, oh, are we good? But everybody in the locker room said the right thing. Now, that's not us.
Yeah.
That's a game that we need to flush. We don't do that. The Columbus game, they were mad because they knew they put out the effort, but they didn't get the win. But that didn't mean they were going to pack in the tent, especially against a team. And I've been trying to say this. The Carolina Hurricanes, since January 1st, are a good team. This is a very good team. I'm not going to try to go too much
hyperbole.
One of the
best teams.
But they're a good team. Do you know why? Because they beat the teams they're supposed to. Yeah, they'll have a banana peel here and there. But for the most part, this is a team that when you put them in this situation, like I said earlier, Michael, I wasn't worried about it because I know the effort that they give. And when they come off of their game, the next game they get right back to it. And that's what they did. And they beat a Buffalo team where, you know, it got shaky there. Jeff Skinner scores the first goal, and you're wondering, oh, okay, is something going to get in their head?
The start wasn't great again.
But they responded
quickly.
The Lucas Walmart goal is, I'm not going to do the, oh, it's the biggest goal of the year. It was a big goal in that game because instead of going into the locker room down 1-0, you're tied at 1. You know if you get the next goal on a team that's limping home to the finish line, you pretty much have a good chance of burying them, and that's what happened.
And it took them just 67 seconds into the second period to get that next goal, and that was basically it. Yep. That was Andrei Svechnikov in front there. And that was that essentially was the ball game because, yeah, the Buffalo Sabres are, at this point, just sort of counting down the days, I think.
Yeah. And I get what you were setting that up for, plus Jack Eichel was coming back off of a suspension. There were lots of things where you could think of, like, this would be Buffalo's last stand. Sure, fine. But, again, watching how this team has played, and even going back to the start of the year, when the goals weren't coming in, I never questioned the effort of the Carolina Hurricanes. You questioned the, you know, is there enough to score
the finish,
goals?
Yeah.
But now you add Nino Niederreiter, and he's been just amazing for this club since they picked him up. And Andrei Svechnikov, I think, at 18 years old, has figured it out a little bit more. And when he totally figures it out, look out, world. But he's got 18 goals right now. I think he's going to eclipse 20 that we were talking about last week on the Canes cast. But he's also playing a power game. He's not afraid to hit people. Not that he was before, but now he really knows he can do it and come back and bounce off of it. So there's a lot of things to like for this Hurricanes team. That being said, this week we're going to know an awful lot about the Carolina Hurricanes' postseason chances when this week is over because of these four games that they have to play.
Yeah, and before we get to that, you mentioned Nino Niederreiter. Let's talk to him.
You know, Nino, I know that you got to this team here in January, but what is it about the mix in this locker room where everybody really seems to enjoy coming to the rink, even on a practice day? But what is it about this group where you fit in right for them and they're the right fit for you?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's, everything is fun when you're winning, and I think that's exactly what's been happening. Especially, I mean, obviously, thank God I got here, and the case, it went that way. So, no, it's definitely been great. It's been a fun group to be a part of, and I feel like we're playing some great hockey, and now the fun begins where each and every game matters a lot, so it's fun to be part of.
What sort of chemistry have you found with Sebastian Aho and Justin Williams there on the first line?
I mean, obviously, with Aho, he's a terrific player. He's such a great playmaker, and he's so smart with the puck. And same with Williams. I mean, you know exactly. I mean, he's been playing in the league for such a long time, and he knows what to do, and he always comes up big when there's big games. And the good thing is there's big games coming up, and you know he's going to be ready.
You talk about that. How fun is that rhythm, though, where it is pretty much from here till the end of the regular season, it's every other day. How much as a player do you like that instead of, you know, when you get three, you know, sometimes 4 days off in between games?
It's definitely a lot of fun if you know you're in a rhythm, and you know you play at every other game, you get in a rhythm, and that's exactly what playoff hockey is going to be like afterwards, and I think that's been going very well for us.
You've been there before in the playoffs. What is this time like, though, when you're still fighting? It's not definite yet, but you want to get in there. What's this time like, the mentality in the room, and for a player where, like you say, you don't want to make a game too big, but you know it's important, especially what's coming up on Tuesday?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to take it step by step and game by game, and you can't look too much far ahead. You just got to do all the little things right. I mean, in the past, there's been moments where I've been in the playoffs. We had five or six games still to play, and they're just, you just kind of don't play your game anymore. And then playoff comes in, and then all of a sudden, you're kind of trying to find your game. And in this year's scenario, it's going to be like, it's probably going to be a fight till the end to make it, and then you know you're going to be ready right from the get-go in the playoffs.
Going back to the trade in mid-January, things in Minnesota not going maybe as well as you had hoped. You come here, change of scenery. What's it been like just having the trust and the confidence from this coaching staff in your abilities?
It's definitely been that's definitely the biggest key for myself. I mean, if you know the organization wants you, if you know the trainer believes in you, and you have teammates who believe in you as well, and I think that's the biggest thing. You're out there together, and everybody has to pull in the same road, and you got to make sure everybody can trust each other, and I think that's what's been working very nicely for me here.
What's it like playing for Rod Brindamore and also noticing that in the weight room, he probably can outlift everybody else on this team?
Yeah, it's definitely impressive to see. I mean, obviously he was a terrific player, so there's a reason why he's in the Hall of Fame, and his jersey's up in the rafters. I mean, players like him, something you look forward to. Even now having him as a coach is definitely terrific, and I feel a lot of fun.
And Nino, at this stage of your career, or for any hockey player, how important is it to have a coach who can communicate with you and talk to you, you know, and get to the level that you want to get at? Because he's been there before, he's played in this league, and that door's open where you feel that you can say anything to him, and he can do the exact same with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what's going on in the, I think, today's hockey. I mean, the coach is playing, talking way more with the players, and especially, like I said, like you mentioned, with him it's not that long ago than when he played. And I mean, like I said, he played so many games, and you know exactly what players are going through and what players are thinking at certain time in the stage of hockey and or in your career. And it's definitely great to have him behind the bench.
On a personal level, how have you settled into Raleigh in the last couple of months or so?
It's been going well. Obviously, the weather has been turning very nicely, which is definitely great. But overall, I haven't seen too much. I'm just focusing on hockey, trying to find a place to live, which I found, and now settling in and getting to know the area a little better and better.
All right, on the other side, my numbers might be slightly off, but I think you have 15 points in 15 road games with this team. Lots of times when guys play away from their building, I know this is a new building for you here at PNC Arena, but lots of times the road, it's tough to find your game. You've been awesome on the road. What is it? You like the hotels? What's what leads to the better game on the road?
I mean, it's tough to say at the end of the day. I mean, especially when playoff hockey come, you got to perform on the road. And to even get into playoffs, you got to make sure you're going to be good on the road. And I think that's something which I always focus on. Obviously, it's, I'm not saying it's easier to be great at home, but at the end of the day, I mean, going into playoffs and winning a playoff hockey games, you have to win on the road.
Well, I was going to say, could this feel like it's just been an extended road game for you since January, since you got traded? Because it's not really home here yet, so every game sort of feels like that?
Well, it's tough to say. At the end of the day, I feel very welcome here, and I feel like our fan base is great, and it's always great to play in front of our fans. So it's at the end of the day, home, it always feels like home.
I know it's one game at a time, Tuesday against Pittsburgh first up, but on the calendar, Saturday against Minnesota, your former team, are you looking forward to seeing some friendly faces and maybe getting a W against your former team?
Obviously, it's definitely great to get a win against them, obviously. But at the end of the day, they made a lot of changes, and there's a lot of guys in their roster, which I'm not very familiar anymore. But obviously, there's your friends, which you spend some quality time for the past 6 years. It's definitely going to be fairly emotional, but I think next year when you play in Minnesota, it's definitely going to be a little more special.
Nino, Dankeschön for the time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So this upcoming week, the Hurricanes will complete their five-game homestand with four additional games: Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Montreal. All teams in the playoff mix. Minnesota, their chances are looking a little bleak at this point.
Yep. But Montreal, again, this is their line in the sand. Same for Montreal. You're going to get that weekend is you're going to be playing two desperate hockey teams.
Yep. They're maybe perhaps some of their last chances to really either stay in the mix or move up in the mix a little bit.
And then you have a home and home with Washington, but I'm getting ahead of ourselves there.
Yeah, we can break that down next week.
Ooh.
But Tuesday's game against Pittsburgh is the biggest game of the year. And I know we've said that about every game because it's true.
And
this
funny
one truly, actually is the biggest game of the season. And, of course, until Thursday against Tampa Bay. Yeah. But this is a chance for...
And then, you know, Saturday against Minnesota and then Sunday against Montreal.
Either the Hurricanes to narrow the gap in between them and Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. or Pittsburgh to
widens
stretch.
The gap.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got a three-point lead in the Metro Division right now for third place.
It's a huge...
88 to 85 points as of the recording of this fine podcast that we appreciate all of you listening to.
And we should note that the Hurricanes also have two games in hand. You can count those two games, if you want, as both of their games against Pittsburgh.
No, because you're not catching up to Pittsburgh if that's the case.
Well, they will eventually, but
you're like,
if you want to look at
hand,
it.
No, it's the...
If you want to look
your
at
your game
it,
in hand
can,
is when the other team doesn't play.
Right, I understand that, but I'm saying if you want to look at it in this term, you can say those two games in hand are when they play Pittsburgh. Those are huge swing point games.
Are you telling me the laws of physics don't apply in your kitchen?
No,
is that
I'm
what
just,
you're telling me?
I'm just rationalizing games in hand right now.
Well, they're four-point games.
They are four-point games, and this game on Tuesday is going to be huge because you have a Pittsburgh team coming off an overtime loss to the Philadelphia Flyers on Sunday, a game that Pittsburgh led until late in regulation.
Mm-hmm. 4 seconds left, or 16 seconds left, and then lost with 4 seconds left in overtime.
A Pittsburgh team that is now without Evgeny Malkin
again
week to week.
Yep.
That sounds to me like he'll be back for playoffs.
Probably.
I think the Penguins are, I guess, confident enough that they're going to make the playoffs that they can rest Malkin, because that sounds to me like he'll return for playoffs in no time before then. So the Hurricanes...
Well, when you say week to week, there's only 3 weeks left in the season,
yeah,
really, Michael.
Not many. So the Hurricanes get a Pittsburgh team that's going to be a little hungry for a win. that's going to look to hold off Carolina, because if the Hurricanes beat Pittsburgh in regulation and get that 2 points, suddenly that gap is 1 point between the two teams. And that gap starts to narrow a bit. And you've seen these two teams, the Hurricanes and Penguins, jump over each other, basically wild card one, third in the division, for a couple weeks now. Pittsburgh has been playing better as of lately. They've played some more games, so they've sort of held on to third place in the division for some time now. But a chance Tuesday for that gap to narrow a bit, and it should be this one's going to have a playoff feel to it. And I know that's not new, you know, to the way the Hurricanes have been playing lately, but I think both teams you're going to see really want Tuesday's game, because it's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into all of the add-ons and adjectives you want, but it is, in essence, a playoff game, at least for playoff position between these two teams. I'm looking forward to it, because this is what I want to see now, Michael, that there is this pressure on the Carolina Hurricanes. Let's see how they play in these games. Let's see how they respond to a team that's been there and done that. Let's see how they respond against the best team in the league when Tampa Bay comes to town. Let's see how they respond when they play two desperate teams over the weekend. And I think I know what the answer is. It's going to be how they played all year long. And that comes from the head coach, Rod Brind'Amour, and it goes to every single player. But I bring up Andrei Svechnikov, and I want to bring this again. I'm not surprised at the performance that we've seen out of him this year. We knew the tools, we knew the talent, and we knew what he was coming in to work with. But what have you noticed different about his game? Other than, for me, it's the everybody expects a guy to hit the rookie wall. He hasn't done that. He's looking fresh right now.
He really hasn't. I mean, he's playing more hockey than he really ever has his entire career at this point in a single season, and he's sort of charged right through the wall. And he's been rewarded with this play. And I know head coach Rod Brind'Amour will he was asked about this the other day, and he says he doesn't really look at it. And we've explained that, too, that, you know, the lines are just combinations that get put together. He's playing on what we'll call the second line with Jordan Staal and Teuvo Teravainen. Even when Michael Ferlin came back, you know, we talked last week of okay, maybe Svechnikov goes back and plays with Walmark and Martinuk, you know, the two that he's played with pretty much all season. But Rod Brind'Amour left him where he was. He put Ferlin with Walmark and Martinuk.
I like that line. That's a lot of grit on that third line there.
And then he left Svechnikov with Staal and Teravainen, because I think the 18-year-old rookie has earned that trust, earned that, okay, you know, he can play with these two. He can, that skill level is there. He can bring an element of physicality that Michael Ferlin brought to that line. Now, he's not going to knock somebody through the boards or, you know, punch him out in one punch like Michael Ferlin can do. But as you said, he's not afraid to bang bodies. He's confident in his ability to play physical. And we've seen it quite a bit recently where he puts that shoulder down and drives the net with confidence. And sooner or later, that's going to lead to goals. It hasn't lately, that particular move, but sooner or later, that's going to go, and that's going to be an added weapon, really, to his repertoire. He's excellent, and I think he gets to 20 goals this season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, two games away, and he's the king of empty net goals as well. He and Sebastian Aho. Yeah, he's got four. So.
And Sebastian Aho has five. Tied for the league lead at last, I checked.
You are correct. So, all right, Michael, there's lots of things for us to get to as well. People want to know if we, because I'm kind of checking the Twitter feed as we're here, and it's at practice. We've got some very good Zapruder film of us up here doing the podcast. Somebody goes, podcast? Practice? Like, yeah, pretty much. We did this, I think, going back in December, right?
Yeah.
On the road. It's just easy. We're here. We can give you updates as what's happening. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah. Seen a few tweets, seen a few grainy pictures.
That's more of a sarcasm on my part there. Like, thanks for listening. We mentioned we're at the podcast during practice, I think, every single time we do that.
What?
Huh?
So thanks for listening, everybody.
I just say it's like somebody was caught off guard that we're podcasting.
I'd wave to the people who sent in pictures, but I'm not really sure where
they're
sitting.
It's the lower right hand corner. So
hello everybody. Thanks for listening.
Hi.
Thanks for tuning in to Canes Cast each and every week.
Hi.
Hi.
Is there anything else you want me to add to that?
No. But I think we do have some questions. Some questions have rolled in.
We do have some questions. You want to get to them, or do you want to get to this?
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
Yeah, so I have one.
No, you do not. Who gave
well,
it to
I
you?
Well, I thought of it earlier.
Who gave it to you?
No, me.
Then
my brain.
Start, by all means.
The teams that are in the playoffs now, in the Eastern Conference, I don't really care about the West. The West is terrible. The teams that are in the playoffs now in the Eastern Conference will be the teams that qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to send it back.
That is Islanders, Capitals, Penguins, Lightning, Bruins, Maple Leafs, Hurricanes, and Blue Jackets.
Going to send it back.
Oh.
Somebody
you think
usually,
Montreal gets in?
Somebody falls out, usually the last 2 weeks of the season.
Well, yeah, it's Montreal getting in. I have Phillies.
Yeah. It'd be Montreal would get in. I don't know at the expense of who.
I'm gonna take it because I think the teams that are there are going to be the teams that are there come April 7th.
I mean, this is one I don't mind that if I'm wrong on this one, I don't mind it. But
the only way that I think Montreal sneaks in is if Carey Price just goes on a run.
Yeah.
And they are going to have a team fall out of it. So they are going to have Columbus continue to sort of
be up and down.
Yeah.
Or do the Islanders at the worst time come back, you know, hit a losing streak?
I mean, they're at 91 points right now. Montreal's 10 points behind them. They would have to lose
five
almost every game.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens.
All right.
I think the farthest the Islanders fall is to a wild card spot, and even then, I don't think that happens.
All right. Well, I was going to give you along the same lines of the playoffs.
Okay.
The Carolina Hurricanes will not be a wild card team in the 2019 edition of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Mm-mm-mm. That's a good one. I'm going to send it back.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say they're wild card one. I think I'm going to go with a split with the Penguins.
Yep.
That game in Pittsburgh is going to be tough. Though the Hurricanes handled the Penguins in Pittsburgh rather handily a few weeks ago. Shutout victory. I'm going to say wild card one. I don't think they fall to wild card two just because of they don't play Columbus head-to-head again for the rest of the season. And Pittsburgh, I think if you split there, it's going to be close. It's going to be close, but I'll send it back.
Okay.
Are you going to take it? Or
no, it's my question. I don't need to take nor send back.
But okay.
If I put it out there, I generally take it. So you know.
So you think Pittsburgh slides to wild card one?
Yep. Yes, I do.
Yeah. That could very well.
Especially without Malkin for the rest of the season.
That could very well happen. And maybe they would, I don't know. I think it's always a bad idea to, Columbus did this last year, to sort of play for a spot.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad idea because you're going to have to beat the teams anyway.
Well,
if
I
you want to win
this,
the cup.
I don't want to be wild card two in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and that's true. And there are paths that might lead you in a direction where you have a better chance to win. But at the end of the day, whether you're playing Tampa Bay in the first round or Tampa Bay in the Eastern Conference Final, you're going to have to beat them if you want to win the cup.
Now, that being said, yeah, you got to beat them sometime because if we think that they're going to be there in the Eastern Conference Finals, you're going to have to beat them sometime. So maybe a team like Tampa, the best time to get them is in the first round of the playoffs.
Maybe.
Because
they might be they've been ready for the playoffs for 2 months.
I don't know if you remember it and if you followed it the way I did, but you go back to the 90s in the playoffs, so many times the President's Trophy winner got knocked out in the first round.
Yep.
Be it by, you know, San Jose knocking out Detroit, Edmonton was knocking out teams out west. You know, eight seeds knocking off ones is not unrealistic in the NHL, but I also don't want to be the litmus test to find out if Tampa's ready for the playoffs or if they're not.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I do think it's a bad idea to play for a certain spot. Just get in. Just get in. Because you're going to have to win. You got to win 16 games regardless. And you're going to have to play these teams that you either want to play or don't want to play. You're going to have to play them anyway. So just get in and see what happens. Playing for a spot, I don't think it sets the right mindset for the team. The mindset for the team should be that we're going to go out and win every game regardless.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mindset this Hurricanes team has been playing with for really since the start of the season. The wins just weren't there.
Well, because the goals weren't there. Now the goals are there, and the saves with Curtis McElhaney and Peter Mrazek have been there. And by the way, can we give a lot of credit to the goaltending? We know how great Peter Mrazek was on that six-game run where he went 6-0 and had two shutouts. As far as Curtis McElhaney goes, he sits, Michael, for over 7 days with an 8-1 loss in his back pocket, and he comes in and he plays off of his rocker early on against the Buffalo Sabres, and he gets the big win that the Hurricanes needed, and he went right back to form, right back to the goalie that he was. You and I talked to him postgame, and then I asked him postgame, I'm like, when everybody walked out, I said, was it all right? You know, it was just sitting there. I'm like, sitting there for 7 days carrying that. And he goes, no, I needed time to let that one melt away. And it did. And that's why he's a veteran backup. And that's why this tandem works so well. Because Peter Mrazek is emotional in a good way. And Curtis McElhaney isn't in a good way. And they play off of each other so well. And this group of Carolina Hurricanes that play in front of them feed off of what these goaltenders give them, which is a chance to win every single night. Every single night. So, and what I've loved about all of this is they've defied a lot of the analytics folks with their play. Because you look at Peter Mrazek and, well, the numbers weren't there and this and that. But there's more to playing that position than numbers. Yes, it's easy to look at it. Like, baseball pitchers, ERA and strikeouts and all of those things, and goalies, goals against average and save percentage. There are tangibles that you can look at, but sometimes stats don't always tell the story. And the goaltenders this year for the Carolina Hurricanes, the stories go way beyond the numbers that they put next to their name this year. It's been fun to watch because it's unlike years past where you're like, you hope you get a performance out of the backup goalie or out of the guy who's in there tonight. And I will give all due respect to what Cam Ward did in the past, where he kind of went into the seasons knowing, oh, I'm probably got to play 50, 55 games. And, you know, that's hard to do in this league where this team has a better split on the goaltending side of things. And it's resulted in the season that we've seen where every night they believe Peter Mrazek, Curtis McElhaney, they're going to win the hockey game. And that's a big reason why we're sitting here on March, whatever, 18th. Whatever. Did you look it up?
18th, the 18th? Day after St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, look at that. It's a big reason why we're sitting here today, and the Carolina Hurricanes are sitting in a playoff spot.
We've got some fan questions to get to.
Let's answer them.
Always love when fans send questions. And if you hashtag CanesCast, that's the easiest way for us to find them.
Yes.
You can send them to us anytime. We'll just search the hashtag and find them. So this one from Karen.
It's a two-parter.
It is a two-parter. Outside of Aho, Sebastian Aho, who do you think would be considered a priority in getting signed? Williams, Ferland, etc.
For me, I would re-sign the captain.
I would too. If he feels that he's got another year in him, I would re-sign him.
I think that he has another year in him. And, yeah, it depends on the player and what he does feel. But I think this one would be easy for me. Because of what Justin Williams has brought to this club, not just on the ice. Michael, he scored 20 goals again.
Yeah.
21 for the seventh time in his career. It's not a renaissance of his career. It's just exactly what you would expect him to be.
Yeah.
A guy who goes out, leads by example, leads by his words. I would put him right now as the priority, and then I would earpeg.
Earmark?
Yeah, both of them. All of those things.
Earmeg, earpeg, earmark.
Watched a lot of Family Guy last night. I would earmark.
Episode 81, earmeg.
There we go. Putting that good earmeg in your ear. I would earmark Michael Ferland second. So.
Yeah, I like that answer. The second part of the question.
You even like the earmeg part.
Also, I think Mrazek at 2 years, $4 million, two per. And McElhinney at 1 year, one would be a modest, inexpensive contract for these guys, especially if the team reaches the playoffs. They'd be one of the reasons why and should be rewarded for it. What do you guys think?
Well, if I'm management, absolutely.
Right, yeah.
If I'm the players, absolutely not. Do you see the year that these guys have put out here?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get more than that. They are. Now, would I bring them both back? That's one of the questions that gets asked. Do you bring them both back? And then what does that mean for the other goaltenders in the system? Look, I think the Carolina Hurricanes would love it if Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney are the goaltending situation next year heading into the season, especially if this is a playoff year. But if you could get them to sign for $5 million total, we've got to get this person a GM job somewhere because that is awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Peter Mrazek is going to get – he wanted to prove he was a number one. I think he's proven he's a number one. Number one goalies make more than $2 million a year in the NHL.
Yep.
So, while I am all for that question and how it was put out there, I think it's going to take a little bit more than that to re-sign both of them.
Thanks for that question,
your thoughts?
Karen. I agree.
With Karen or with me?
Both. Well, I'd love the contracts that Karen proposed, but I do think, as you said, Mrazek has put himself in position to make more money than that. And McElhinney is the interesting one because he is a veteran goaltender that was claimed off waivers early in the season by the Hurricanes. I'll be interested to see what the decision there is. There's certainly going to be a market for him because he's proven his worth this season. So the Hurricanes will have some decisions to make. And then, of course, there's Alex Nedeljkovic, who came up and in his first start got his first victory in Vancouver. Is he ready to make the jump to the NHL next year? Yeah. That's going to be one of the questions that factors in to the what the Hurricanes decide to do with their goaltenders. Something to watch over the summer for sure. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of a Greyhound.
That's from last week when
Kane's
I talked about
cast and Kane's cats.
When I talked about dressing up pets. If you want to go into that whole detail, go right ahead because I never got a response to it. So go ahead and lay this one out. No, you got to read the tweet back at us.
Well, there's a greyhound, a
good looking
pooch, very
too.
Thin skin and coats, and she loves to wear clothes, especially sweaters when it's cold outside. Some dogs need clothes. That's from Bravo Zulu.
And then there's a response to it.
And your response said, if there's a real purpose and it makes the dog happy, that is wonderful. I'm referring to the people that turn their pets into Project Runway when there is no need. This seems very, it's necessary. The Greyhound needs
a
little coat.
If you need to put, like, if you're telling me, like, the dog has a skin condition and can't go out in the sun, then by all means, dress up the pet.
A very kind comment from at Kane's Head. His name is just a period on Twitter.
Good for him.
Just started listening to Kane's Cast, and I don't know why I hadn't started earlier. Great work. Can't wait for the next one. Hope you enjoy this one, Kane said. Thanks for listening.
Hey,
and,
Kane said, do us a favor. Go on to iTunes, download the podcast that way, or Google Play. 5 stars. We're already really great friends with that comment. We'll be best friends with a 5-star
review.
Best
friends for life.
That's how it works. Do you know how many times on the road I get people shout at me, I gave you 5 stars, we're best friends for life?
And you just and
I tell them
it.
Yes.
Yes.
Then we hang out for the rest of the game.
Well, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Danielle Donaldson, one of the people who has seen us across the way, asks, will they be able to wear them more after April 6th?
What's referring to
the Hurricanes, them referring to the black jerseys, because the Hurricanes – wore their black jerseys for the 15th and final time.
Maybe she's talking about the Whaler jerseys. How do you know?
No,
not a specifically asked question.
No, but it's in response to a tweet about black jerseys.
Oh, well, fine.
So the Hurricanes wore their black jerseys for the 15th and final time of the regular season on
Saturday.
Finished 11-2-2 in them this season. That's pretty good.
That's really good.
They can wear them after April 6th if they so choose. It's really up to the team. I think it's a per-round basis. You can't switch game to game. So say the Hurricanes host games 3 and 4. They couldn't wear black one night, red
the
other.
And then red the next. They'd have to wear black both nights.
Correct.
Maybe they do.
So that'll be a decision the team will make.
Maybe they do. I wouldn't be against it. I like the Reds. I like all three of their jerseys. But I wouldn't be against it.
I mean, it's worked so far this year.
Yeah, why
interesting
not?
That the last time the Hurricanes made the playoffs, 08-09, was also the first season of the original iteration of the black jerseys.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes wore red in that playoff run.
They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And ran into a team called the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
Who also then had Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin.
A younger, healthier Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, who's still very good at the hockey.
Still very good.
Yep. That's going to be coming up on Tuesday. All right, Michael, we kind of do this exercise every now and again. With the four games this week, before we talk to you next here on the Canescast, where we will probably be recording at practice next Monday.
We've got a lot to – we're going to have a lot to go over next week.
We are. Well, it'll be four games.
Double the amount of games we've talked about this week.
What is your outlook?
That's quick math.
What's my outlook? You didn't know the date. I'm surprised how you've rebounded quickly with the math skills.
Well, we had to check. Four games, 8 points available. I would say 6 points is a resounding success. Four points is fine, honestly. I mean, I know we don't want to set the bar at 500 being fine, but quite honestly, it would be fine.
Yeah.
But 6 points is a resounding success. 8 points.
Eight points is great. 8 points you better take that the Carolina Hurricanes will be in the top three in the Metro Division if that happens. So,
yeah, but I'm going to say six.
They played well against Pittsburgh. They played well against Tampa. They had an unbelievable game where they saw Minnesota come back, but that was eons ago. It doesn't even feel like this season.
Ages ago. Sebastian Aho with the game winner in overtime.
And then Sunday is a playoff game for the Montreal Canadiens. So it'll be very interesting. I'm with you. 6 points would be a really good week for the Carolina Hurricanes with this schedule.
Yeah, and that would – I mean, that would again, keep them in good position in this playoff race, especially depending on what the teams around them do.
Yes.
Every team plays each other around this time of year.
Yep. So that's why you can't get the freak out when you see somebody move up in the standings or if you know your team gets a loss, you still have a chance to get points somewhere.
And that's why it's so tough, too, to gain ground. I mean, look at – I would have to look back at the standings, but how much ground have the Hurricanes gained on the Caps in the last few weeks? It can't be that much because it's just these teams – keep winning. The Hurricanes keep winning. It all evens itself out. So it's so tough to gain ground. And that's why I think Montreal's got a real tough road ahead of it if they want to make the playoffs. And I don't think that they end up making it.
Well, you asked that. The tough thing about it is the Carolina Hurricanes in their last 10 games are 7-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that the Carolina Hurricanes in the last 10 games have actually lost a point on the Washington Capitals because the Caps are 8-2-0 in their last 10 games.
So that just illustrates just how tough it is to gain ground on these teams, especially this time of year.
And they only made up 3 points on the New York Islanders because the Islanders went 6-4.
And it's amazing to think that even in such a good stretch, The margins that you're gaining on these teams are so, so slim.
And mind you, the Pittsburgh Penguins, who've lost two games in a row in this 10-game swath, the Carolina Hurricanes have only gained 1 point on them because they have 14 points and the Hurricanes have 15 points during that stretch. But the Canes do, as the Web's Michael Smith, he is a jewel to all, pointed out, the Canes have two games in hand on the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll see how that goes.
The Hurricanes have a stretch of 11 games in 19 days coming up to finish the season. It's an every other day at least stretch because there are two back-to-backs in there. The good part about that stretch, the 11 and 19, is that seven of the games are at home and four are on the road. So it's not too strenuous of a travel schedule. And one of the back-to-backs is coming up this weekend, a back-to-back, both home games, so no travel in between. So it's going to be a busy schedule down the stretch, and there are some tough opponents coming in, but it's not too strenuous of a schedule. Not too. It could 11 and 19 could be a lot worse in terms of travel and miles logged and everything, but all things considered, it's almost like a playoff type rhythm from here to the playoffs. Because the playoffs are going to be an every other day thing, more or less.
I like it. I like playing every other day. I really do. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I do too. And I think what you're going to see here is the team settle into a nice rhythm, and maybe your practice days become fewer, your morning skates become shorter, and it's basically just you go out and you play, you rest, you play, you rest, you play. And that's basically it.
If you played, this will be, I think, a
if
fine
I
way to
play?
Put this out. If you were a player, would you rather have a practice day, not have a practice day, or not have a morning skate?
I would rather have a practice day. I feel like more is accomplished on a practice day than is accomplished at a morning skate. I think you can accomplish what the morning skate is designed to accomplish with a simple off-ice workout or stretch.
Oh, I thought you were going to elaborate.
That's it.
You were like, for those watching on the video that Michael Smith evidently has us on the podcast, unbeknownst to me, hi camera, wherever you are, you had the hand roll working, like there was another point, and then you just
da-da-da-da. I think more is accomplished at practice than a morning skate. So for productivity's sake, I'd rather have a practice day than a morning skate.
I'm with you. Plus, I would rather sleep in if I played a game the night before.
Right. And would I...
So when you have a back-to-back, I definitely wouldn't want to. And you never have a morning skate anyway. But I would rather, on a game day, sleep in and then do what you said. Go somewhere, get a workout off ice. Do something like that.
Now, when it comes down to it and you're playing every other day, do I want to play, practice, play, practice, play? Probably not. You probably need to build an off day or two in there somewhere. But just from the standpoint of, you know, teaching and brushing up on some systems things and stuff, practices are way more efficient. You've seen this one go. It's almost going an hour today.
Yep.
Whereas morning skates are teams in and out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's basically you just come in, you get a sweat in, and you go home.
You do some line rushes, maybe a little tactical work on special teams.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. I think you'll see fewer and fewer of those down the stretch.
All righty. I'm with you on that one. Pause for dramatic effect.
Coaching staff, if you're listening, fewer morning skates.
Yeah. Sure.
We also would rather have practice days doing our normal jobs.
Also,
morning skates.
Also, coaching staff, if you're listening on iTunes and Google Play, 5 stars.
Yeah, best friends.
For life.
Yeah.
For life.
You well, especially, Lee. I don't know if he listens.
That'll do it for this edition as you hear the whistle of the Canes cast. I don't know if this was a space oddity or not, but there was definitely some madness in it, my friend.
It definitely was an oddity.
For the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.